Episode 5. This is the fifth and final part in our ninth annual mini-series dedicated to the Catholic Church's beautiful teaching on the dignity of every human life. We began our ninth annual mini-series on the first day of October, the feast of Saint Thérèse of Lisieux, and we dedicated this entire ninth annual mini-series to the protection of Saint Thérèse of Lisieux, the little flower. And we prayed that our little reflections on the gospel of life would always be done with great love and peace. And I would like to begin this fifth episode by talking about the dignity of the life of the priest. I want to talk about priestly life in episode 5. The National Federation of Priests Council, along with Sarah International and along with several other Catholic organizations, have asked Catholics in the United States to observe today, October 29th, as Priesthood Sunday. A whole day dedicated to reflect on the dignity of the life of the priest. Listen again to the words of St. Paul in his letter to the Hebrews from today's second reading, the passage that I chose for my own ordination some 9 years ago. Every high priest is taken from among men and made their representative before God to offer gifts and sacrifices. He is able to deal patiently with the ignorant and the erring, for he himself is beset by weakness, and so must make sin offerings for himself as well as for the people. Isn't that beautiful? The dignity of the life of the priest. Priests are taken from among the people and made their representative before God to offer gifts and sacrifices. He's able to deal patiently with the ignorant and the erring, for he himself is a sinner. He himself is weak. And so I must make sin offerings for myself as well as for you. The dignity of the priest. The priest offers the one sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross to take away sin. What a great dignity. And yet that great dignity is marked by our own personal weakness. You all know too well in recent years of the weaknesses and sins and lies of priests plastered on the front page of the morning paper. And so we need Priesthood Sunday, not only to thank our priests for their faithful service, but to pray for our priests that they will be holy men and more like Jesus Christ the High Priest. Because we're so weak, because I am so weak, because I am a sinner, we count on your prayers. But the greatest enemy to priesthood is not any of these scandals. There is an even greater enemy to the priesthood, something that attacks the very existence of priesthood. And you're going to be surprised by the answer. It's going to knock your socks off. It's going to knock you right out of your pew. Make the hair stand up on the back of your head. It's shocking. The number one greatest destroyer of priesthood in the world is contraception. Contraception. Yes, it's true. The number one greatest destroyer of priesthood in the world is contraception. Now, let me explain. A few years ago, Bishop Glynn, one of the auxiliary bishops serving in the United States military, was reflecting on the shortage of young men becoming priests. Why are so few young men entering the seminary? Why are there so few men entering convents to become religious nuns and sisters? And after prayerful reflection, Bishop Glynn concluded that the reason that there are so few priests and sisters today is directly linked to the evil of contraception. Here's Bishop Glynn's theory. As the use of contraception goes up, vocations to the priesthood go down. As the use of contraception goes up, vocations to the priesthood go down. And the more I reflected upon it, the more I realized how true it is. You see, contraception allows us to limit the number of kids we have to one, maybe two, a boy and a girl. But what if God wants the seventh child to be a sister? Or the tenth child to be a priest? Perhaps you've seen that little cartoon before. That little cartoon where there's a person on earth, and the person on earth is looking up to God and praying, God, why haven't you sent us anyone to cure cancer? God, why haven't you sent us anyone to cure diabetes and strokes and heart attacks? And God, looking down to the person praying from his bubble, says, I plan on it. But you won't have any more children. Let's take a brief look at my classmates. Father Jim Williams from the Diocese of Colorado Springs. He's the ninth of nine children. Father Paul Scalia from the Diocese of Arlington, Virginia, is the sixth of nine children. Father David Whiteside from the Diocese of Peoria, Illinois, is the 12th. Of 12 children. And my namesake, Father Steve Cook, from the Diocese of Kansas City, St. Joseph, is the 13th of 15 children, all from the same mother and father. The Catechism of the Catholic Church rightly says, Sacred Scripture and the Church see large families as a sign of God's blessing and the parents' generosity. But there's more. Contraception says, I can't control my sexual passions. I can't make that sacrifice. I can't give up my passions. And you know what? I have heard so often those exact same responses when I ask someone to think about being a priest or a sister. They'll say, I can't control my sexual passions. I can't give that up and make that sacrifice. Here's the most important connection. Contraception is, in its very essence, selfish. Contraception fosters this attitude among parents. I want grandchildren. You can't be a priest. I want to have grandchildren. You can't be a nun. Contraception fosters this attitude that says, I will decide the number of children I have. This is the number of children that I want. And what was the first sin in the Garden of Eden? I will decide what trees I eat from and what trees I don't eat from. Thank you very much. God, you're not going to tell me what trees I can eat from and what trees I can't eat from. Who are you to tell me what trees I can eat from? You see this attitude? And so do you think it's surprising that our young people catch on to this attitude? When I ask a young man to be a priest, 9 times out of 10, he says, I will decide what I will do with my life. Thank you very much. When I ask someone to be a sister or a religious nun, she says, I don't want to be a sister. You can't tell me what to do. You can't tell me, God, what I'm going to do with my life. Their responses are identical. But the couple who is generous with the Lord will teach their children to be generous. The man and woman united in the sacrament of marriage who says, I will be generous with the Lord and accept all the children he gives to me, if it's 4 or 7 or 12. These couples who are generous with the Lord will be more likely to have children who will say, I will be generous with the Lord and accept the vocation to priesthood that he has given to me. When married couples are generous with the Lord, their children will learn to be generous with the Lord and give their lives in generous service to the church as priests and religious sisters. The more I pray about Bishop Glenn's argument, the more I see the truth in what he said. When the use of contraception goes up, vocations to the priesthood go down. To be open to children means total trust in God. You have to make a leap of faith and jump into God's arms and trust that he knows what's best for your life. And to be open to a vocation to priesthood means total trust in God. You have to make a leap of faith. You have to jump into God's arms and trust that he knows what is best for your life. But contraception closes our eyes to the plan of Almighty God. Contraception is the one moral issue that it's so easy to be blind to. But like the blind man Bartimaeus in today's gospel, we say with zeal, Master, I want to see. Master, Jesus, I want to see. Master, I am so blind to what Father Cook is saying right now. I can't see it. I've tuned him out 10 minutes ago. I'm blind. But with zeal we say, Jesus, I want to see. Jesus, I want to see the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Jesus, I want to see with my mind's eye the beauty of the church's teaching. Jesus, I want to see and understand that contraception is evil. Jesus, I want to see with my intellect the beauty of having more children. One time I was talking to Steve Wood about preaching about this topic of the evil of contraception. And he said, ask your congregation, ask your faithful flock to open their eyes and their hearts to God. And that's good advice. And so, why don't you try it? Why don't you ask God if he wants you to have another child? Ask him what he thinks. Just ask him. And if he wants you to have another child, ask him to plant that desire in your heart, in the depth of your soul. And while we're at it, why don't you ask God if he wants you to be a priest? Ask him. See what he says. And if he wants you to be a priest, ask him to plant that desire within your heart. Ask God if he wants you to be a religious sister. And if he does, ask him to plant that desire in your heart. They departed in tears. That is what we read at the end of today's first reading. They departed in tears. And perhaps many people this morning will depart in tears because of today's topic. But as the Lord said through the prophet Jeremiah, I will console them and guide them. I will lead them to brooks of water on a level road so that none shall stumble. For I am a father to Israel. And I am a father to my people. I'm a father to you, trying to lead you on a level road to heaven so that none of you will stumble on your journey to heaven. The best thing that you can do for Priesthood Sunday is not send me a card, not to give me a gift, not to make my favorite food. The best thing that you can do to honor the sacred priesthood of Jesus Christ is to do exactly what Jesus wants you to do.